Happy New Year to everyone, and welcome to Kol Simcha Messianic Congregation. If this is your first time, we are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles that worship Adonai, worship Yeshua, as a believer in Yeshua, but at the same time maintaining our Jewish, for some of us that are Jews, and some of us that are grafted in as Jews, part of Israel, as a community that is both a natural branch and other branch, both of them grafted to the same root. So we are together. This is really a fulfillment of what was like in the early church, was the early Messianic congregations, consisted both of Jews and Gentiles worshiping the Lord. It was after the apostles died and the ones following them that the congregations outside of the Middle East became mostly Gentile congregations. But it was not so in the beginning. If you read carefully the book of Acts and even the early letters of Paul, it shows that there are Jews and Gentiles worshiping together. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. At the latter time, after Israel became a nation, then this movement, this ability to be able to worship together, Jews and Gentiles, people of all races, nations, along as with the Jewish nation. By the way, the Jewish nation is not white any more than my island, Puerto Rico, is white. It's a mixture. And Middle Eastern people actually have a very nice coffee kind of color from there, and maybe a little darker, and some maybe not so much. It doesn't matter. It's from the beginning, the multitude that came from Egypt that became the children of Israel had Egyptians in it. Does that make sense to you? There were Egyptians there? Well, there were also other people there too, not just Egyptians. So the multitude that you know, the ones that became the children of Israel were people born from the 12 tribes of Israel. And the 12 tribes of Israel, you know, had differences in skin color and things like that. But, you know, they certainly weren't blonde, Aryan, white. There's nothing wrong with blonde, Aryan, white. It's just to imagine that that's all there is wrong. The world is loaded with people of color and people of various things that they've grown with. And all of it comes together in a Messianic congregation. And that's my point, that here this is not just for Jews. This is not just for Gentiles. This is for the people of God, those that are, by virtue of being Jewish, and meet their Messiah, completed Jews, have become grafted into the root, which is Yeshua, and then those that from the nations that became adopted because they embraced Yeshua and became adopted into the family of Abraham, called children of Abraham. And because of that, we have been grafted in. As we read at the beginning of the service, some were not a people, but now are the people of God. You know, and that's the emphasis. We are all now together, the people of God, part of the greater Israel, and the greater Israel is the bride body. Because Yeshua, the Lord, doesn't change his mind and doesn't divorce. So his bride is still Israel, and now we're part of it, okay, with them. It's really a mystery. And because it is a mystery, we're fleshing that out in this congregation for the last 29 years or so. In our trying to do our best to live a messianic lifestyle that is inclusive for everyone, that it welcomes everyone. We think, therefore, that we are really a family, the family of God. We treat each other like family in this congregation. We mean it. We mean it. We do certain things during the year to emphasize that whether it's going on a retreat to the beach where there are no services, we just have fellowship together, or we go to Post Springs and have a mikvah in front of the community or other things. Nevertheless, we are family. Most big families have their moments. Okay? I only had two, and they had their moments. And so most big families have their moments, and sometimes we're a little abrasive with one another. But at the end, we're all one family. So be not dismayed if there's some of that in a body. We're not perfect. When Yeshua comes, we'll become perfect. Until then, we're just going to be family, kind of real flesh and blood family. And we're also, as flesh and blood family, have space and tolerance for one another. We just give each other space and give each other tolerance. Those have been the principles by which we have tried to do this congregation all these years. This begins a new year. There are no changes. We still want to be just that, family. And true family, family that you can count on in difficult times, but more so a family that you can, just have a meltdown and still be loved. Not discarded, still be loved and still be part of each other. As we come into this new year, the Lord impressed upon me, if it wasn't the Lord, then I take the fall. Okay, then I don't like to speak for Him. I felt very strongly that the Holy Spirit was leading me in this direction. The direction is encapsulated in a song by Big Daddy Weaver, and the chorus of the song says, I delight myself in you, in the glory of your presence. I'm overwhelmed by you. I thought that I am working on the possibility that our former worship team and his wife will be here sometime this month. And I want to save some music for when they come, because they do such a great job. Because they're school-trained musicians and vocalists, and I can just play and they can sing. So that's probably one of the songs that will be here when they come. We are in the most explosive information age ever known to man, the most technologically advanced. And by the way, there does not seem to be a shortage of affluence. During these last 2 years, there have been more billionaires made than ever before in the history of man. We may not like that, but I just say that there is such a thing. It's not all doom and gloom, and in some instances, some businesses are flourishing. I'm convinced, though, that Adonai's message to us remains the same. And that message is to finish the course. It's no different than Paul's. It's to finish the course, to maintain our bearings and keep our focus on Him so we can finish the course. Amen. The first and greatest commandment continues to be, quote, Yeshua said, in Mark 12, 29 to 31, the first commandment is, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He goes on, Yeshua, this is Yeshua quoting, this is from the horse's mouth. And you shall love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. The second commandment is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is in the TLB Bible, Mark 12, 29 through 31. Therefore, we see that Yeshua reminds us that our first love and our first priority must be Adonai. Our first love and our first priority must be Adonai. I want you to know the following, though, that the Lord is looking for people that will worship him in spirit and truth. We know that. But I'd like to add a little something to that thought. I think the Lord is still looking also for people that delight in him. That delight in him. That's why the song, I Delight Myself in You. It's a biblical song. Not those who delight in his system. Not those who delight in his religion. But those who delight in him. And in him above all. He becomes the center, he becomes the first, he becomes the last. He becomes like the thing that's never out of the conversation. He is in the conversation. He is in relevance to everything that we do. If that's what happens in our heart, then we will have a heart that is sold out to Yeshua, which is what the story is from the Yeshua when he encountered a young man who asked, what should I do to be better, to greater in the kingdom of God, so to speak, by context. And he answered that. Now there's a part of the story we're not going to focus on because the young man said, I've done those things and I was young. Okay? Now, I want to ask you a question as we begin 2022. Do you believe the Lord will let this wicked generation go unpunished? Is he going to look the other way in 2022? Is he going to spare our society of its sin consequences? Do you really believe that he will let our generation go on its merry way? Right here, I would sing the song, Row, Row Your Boat, gently down the stream. And then we'd start another thing, and then we'd start another one, and everybody rowing the boat, gently down the stream. No? Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream. Is that what really will happen to this generation, sinful generation, that we've seen its ugly head manifest itself? Do you believe that this generation will continue to mock his way? Openly mock his way. Openly, so it's no longer a quiet behind the scenes. It's an on your face. It's an on your face mockery. The mockery is not really directed at us. We have a big ego if you think, well, we're the target. We're not the target. We're not the target. Satan's target is not us. His target is Adonai. From the beginning, he wanted to be like him. He wanted to be equal to him. When he couldn't and was cast off, his job, his delight, is in to mock God. To make everything that the Lord has done and died for, everything that he stands for, to be thrown away by humans. He comes to us to get us to join his ranks in the ones that rejected him. If you're not really aware of that, if you're not really aware of that, then you're missing the greater battle that we're in. You see, all of that is designed to make his word and the Savior's word of none effect in humans. Because after all, Yeshua came because the Lord, the Father, so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have life, life more abundant and everlasting. And that's not what we can say that's been happening these last 2 years. It's been much, much less of an abundant life. And there's been much, much less of that kind of thing. There have been ranks and ranks of people that have become disenchanted with one another. Even within the Patriot movement, there is a little bit of disagreement. We should not go, oh, well, they're disagreeing with one another. Well, by golly, they're brothers and sisters. I had two sisters. I didn't have any brothers. They had the hardest time disagreeing with me. So I was the oldest and the male. But we disagreed. We disagreed. Those two sometimes would gang up against me. And then sometimes the first and the second, myself and my sister Amy, would gang up on the small one. You know, get our way. You know, make her get a spanking and that kind of thing. That's only me. I'm the only sinner around here. The saints are, you know, this is the saints out there. I want to know which of our New Year resolutions will you and I actually keep this time around? That was a question I felt that was being asked of me. Because I make them every year. Some of us make them in things like weight, food, etc. Do we will actually keep them? Or is it going to be another year of, oh, well, I did try. You know, I can point out to these few weeks and days kind of wane in comparison to 365. I did more of the other. I wish we could keep all our New Year's resolutions. But we don't seem to. Should we at least keep the ones that really count? Can we keep one? One that really counts. Just one. Just make one that really counts. I like to suggest that the resolution that will make the most impact in eternity is this one: to make Yeshua the King and the Lord of our life. To make Yeshua the Lord and the King of our life. How are we going to do that? With all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, like Yeshua said. I think this year is going to be different. I think this year will be a year not of resolutions, but a year of scriptural convictions. I like to move away from resolutions or preferences and get into convictions, the name of the message. What is a scriptural conviction? What do you mean by that? A conviction is a basic scriptural principle that we purpose to follow, whatever the cost. Let me give some examples. Suppose someone says, I have a conviction that I should try to overcome an overeating. Okay, so I'm actually going to address it. The losing weight, right? The big one. The big one that happens every January. Okay? I have a conviction that I should try to overcome this overeating problem or drinking or pornography or smoking or cursing or spending. I could add some more there, just a few. Not everybody's going to say I do here, but I think that there's enough buckshot here that it goes around. Is that really a conviction? No, it's not a conviction. Because a conviction must be seen in daily living on a continual basis. The above statement is really a preference. You go on your iPhone and find the wheel like that, and go in there and find the preference panel. And in the preference panel, you make choose, you say, okay, I prefer that you go to sleep at this time. I prefer that you have colors like this. I prefer that you turn down the light. I prefer that, Siri doesn't just wake up to, hey, Siri, but hey, you. You can actually do that. You can do that. So this is a preference, not a conviction. That's a preference. Suppose someone else says, I have a conviction that as a man, I should lead my family spiritually. But in some situations, that might change. I'll try not to add adjectives here. In some situations, it might change. I have an adjective for that. It's called wimping out. Wimping out. This is also a preference. Why is it a preference? Because a conviction can't change based on circumstances. It can't change. You don't set it up that, well, I'll be your friend, Sam, if you smile at me when we walk through the door. But if you don't smile and show me that one tooth, then that's, I don't know if he has a tooth or not, but I'm just picking on some idiosyncratic detail. Then I won't. Suppose someone else says, I have a conviction that some of the TV programs that I watch are harmful to my children and to other people and to our spiritual life. Is this a conviction? It's not quite. It's getting better. But a conviction must be consistent, because in the very wording of what I said is it's not harmful to the children. But I'm an adult. I can handle it. We don't want our children to watch certain programs, especially when they're small. But we go watch those programs. And what's the message to our children? What's the message to the Lord? Shouldn't there be consistency here? Aren't we supposed to be like children ourselves? Are we just to let our eyes feast on everything? Are we going to be tempted in the same way that Eve was tempted? When she looked at the fruit, the Bible records for us that she said it was beautiful. It was good to look at. In other words, it didn't look like something ugly. It's a beautiful fruit. Therefore, it had to be a guava. Or it had to be a mango. It can't be an apple. That's American. We want it to be a hobo. Figure out what that is. A hobo. H-O-B-O. Okay? I think that would be a worthy fruit. And since it's in a tree, I can't say raspberry, because that's really a beautiful fruit. Now, is this a conviction? No. It has to be consistent. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the children is good for the adults. And this idea that we as adults have, oh, this is an adult program. What that means? That means it's not a believer's program. I'll tell you that right now. It's not a believer's program. If it's harmful for children, you better realize that it's harmful for you also. How about this one? I have a conviction that I should not tithe or give offerings or any of that. What do you think about this one? The world has those. This is an unscriptural conviction. Okay, so convictions need to be scriptural. It is unscriptural. do not give. Whatever you want to call it, the principle is the principle of giving. In the Jewish world, sometimes this idea of tithing is like, we don't have that. Well, a lot of mainstream churches don't either. They pass the pan. They don't ever talk about tithing. But I'm just going to talk about the Jewish world, okay? That leaves most of you safe. The Jewish world. Do we think we're better than our father Jacob? In the Jewish world, do we believe that we are better than our father Jacob? We're named after, we're not the Jacobians. We're the children of Israel because his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. And this in Genesis 28, Jacob said to Adonai, of everything you give me, I will faithfully return one-tenth to you. That statement, I'll return one-tenth to you, means I will tithe. That's what that means. So for Jewish people, for those that are called the children of Israel, you know, our father Jacob messed things up. Okay, so as long as we're the children of Israel, then we have a commitment to keep because our father Jacob made that commitment. You know, as there's some people I like to talk to when I get to heaven. One of them is Peter. And I like to talk to Peter. I like to talk to Paul. Like, for example, I like to ask Peter, Peter, this was really hard. You said what we're supposed to live with ladies according to knowledge. But I have failed miserably in understanding ladies. I can't understand them. They are changeable. They have multiple CPUs. Males have one CPU and it follows logic. But ladies have four CPUs and they not all follow logic. Some follow feelings. And some follow the mind. And some follow the will. Oh, mind, will, and emotions, and spirit. So they have four CPUs, okay? And they are connected, which no one knows how to write a distributed operating system for more than one CPU. That I'm giving you that statement as a professor of computer science. It's one of the areas that I taught. We don't know how to do that. You guys know how to do it. And you're sneaky. Because us logical folks look at you and you respond and there's not an LED with colors that tells us which one of these systems is responding to me. So I don't understand it. It makes perfect sense for you to say, I'd like you to pay attention to me in public. The logical guy says, okay, I will. So we start to pay attention to him in public. I said, I don't need you to pay attention to me in public. So then the logical guy goes, okay, I don't need to pay attention to her in public. And then, so we don't. And then you hear something, I'd like for you to pay attention to me in public. At this point, that guy is lost. Okay, you asked me to do this. I started to do it, then you said no. And now you say you really want me to do it. Okay? And then another time, come in. It might show this way. If you're going to show me attention in public like you did last week, don't. All the ladies go, you are, you know, it's no wonder. The last thing created was the most difficult. You were not created from the ground. You were created from a rib. We were created from the ground. We're ground hug, you know, ground chuck type folks. And you're not. You're created from a rib. You were not created. I mean, you were created, but the scripture word is fashioned. So we weren't fashioned. He just took dirt and made us. But when he came to you guys, he fashioned you. And he took pleasure in putting all those distinctiveness and all that challenge. My wife says, you have to be conquering something all the time, so I'm going to make it hard for you to conquer me so you can be excited about it for these 42 years. And she's correct. You know, we are excited about the sea. Most mariners are excited about the sea. They like it. I don't like it, but, you know, that's another story. But say Gene, he's a mariner. He was a Navy guy. And he enjoyed the sea and the challenges of the sea all the time. There's stories about the sea. The sea is like a woman. They never call it a man because that would be, it doesn't fit. The sea is like a woman. And she has her own way. And can go from totally calm to totally different and difficult to, that's what the mariners say. Okay, I'm not a mariner, so I'm only echoing what I've heard in movies and things like that. Those mariners say, the sea can never be conquered. So this, my wife says, don't say that in front of everybody, because it's like you don't really even want to try. I said, no, the answer is, I know that I'm supposed to live with you according to knowledge. That's what it said in the Bible. So I'm trying to figure it out. And every time I figure it out, it comes out wrong. And since that's been the case for 40-some years, I would like to ask Peter, did you kind of slip there? And it should have been according to blank, but knowledge? I know what knowledge is. I can study that. And the more I study it, like the sea, the more it doesn't work out. It's meant to be positive. It keeps us in the game. Man, otherwise we get bored. Not meant negative. I don't have any more difficult a wife than Joe does, or Sam. You know, actually, I think some of you are much more intricate. So there's a degree of fashion that applies to different ones of you. And when it comes to fashion and colors, I'm blind, colorblind. Well, as we begin this pivotal year in our life and a congregation, I believe that we ought to examine ourselves to see if in any way we have ignored, left, diminished our first love. I talked about that last week. This is not an evaluation of our motives, our work, or our commitment, or even our suffering for his sake. Instead, this is a call to the deepest level possible to ask the question, do I really love you, Lord? Do I really love you, Lord? Do we, number one, get into the doing and living a messianic lifestyle in such a way that our feelings of love towards the Messiah get masked and wane in our practice? If even a little bit of this is happening, we need to do what the messianic community in Ephesus was asked to do in the book of Revelation. We need to repent and do the first works again. We love scriptures such as, here's a great scripture, Psalm 37:4. One of the, delight yourself in Adonai, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In the TLV says request. In the King James Version, it says, delight yourself also in Adonai, and he will give you the desires of your heart. The problem is that we focus on the desires of our heart deal. And we just go into the desires of our heart. We're going to get the desires of our heart, that we forget the prerequisite. We forget the first part, which is delight yourself also in the Lord. However, this is, in fact, syntactically a prerequisite. I like to ask the question, therefore, are we delighting in Adonai today? Is that the word that we can use today to say, we delight ourselves in you? Are you delighting in Adonai right now? Are you concerned about his feelings? Are you concerned about his agenda? Are you concerned about him above everything else? Are you concerned about his commandments? Are you concerned about his abundant life that we tend to trample down with bad attitudes and things like that? Are we concerned about his reputation? Are we concerned about his character, which every character, good word that we can find, Yeshua had them. So I'm not just saying, be concerned with the character of meekness because he said he was meek. How about be concerned with all of possible character qualities you can use because he had them all? Are you concerned for his desires for you? As much as you're concerned with your own desires and your own agenda. Are you concerned with his freedom that he gives us versus our freedom? Are you more concerned with your own reputation? I'm talking to Tony Arroyo. Your reputation, your character, what you want. I wrote here, so you can read it. I wrote it. I confess that I find myself at times weak and unfocused. And I lack in what's called in Scripture agape love, which is genuine love towards him. I serve him. I work for him. I obey him. I do his bidding. I strive to live a true messianic lifestyle. But I also have to ask the question, do I delight in him? That wasn't just for you, it's for me also. Am I delighting in you? Seemed like the Lord wrote this, but I wrote it, but seemed like it came from him. It's really not my writing here. Perhaps if I delighted more, I would get more of my desires of my heart fulfilled. I don't feel I wrote that. I think, you know, I was under the influence. What does it mean to do the first works again? Which is what was told to that congregation. I believe that speaks of the times when we first came to him. What a great day were those when we first came to him. For many of you that came to the Lord after living in sin for a long time, like I was, I'm sure you remember your first days as a believer. Because I was changed internally, and it showed. My life was changed. My attitudes changed. My internals changed. And yes, I loved him so much. However, for many of us that have been believers all your life, since I got saved 44 years ago, so it's like a long time, a generation ago. Or maybe you got saved when you were little. You were a little child when you got saved. Okay? And you came to the Lord in early childhood. You've been good all along. I mean, there was a rabbi who used to preach all the time saying, I never get a chance to sin. I got saved too early. Okay? Those years, that difference is not so pronounced. It doesn't matter. Regardless, we are all to return and repent and rededicate ourselves to love him first. That's doing the first works. What do you mean? Love him. Numero uno. Numero dos. Love him. Numero tres. Love him. Numero four. Love him. Five, love him. Six, love him. Keep going. The answer is, every time, love him. If that's what doing the first works over again, I believe this would make a difference in our community. If we could make the resolution. to make him king and Lord of our life and love him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 all the time. Now, then we will begin to live life more abundantly, like is written in the scripture. So, in closing, the new year is upon us. Started already. Maybe you haven't made a New Year's resolution yet. You had too much fun last night and didn't think about making one. Well, let's make one. Can we make one today together? Can we make it the priority of our congregation to love Adonai, your God, and his son Yeshua with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength? I can't imagine anything more important than making him the center of our universe. If so, our delight in him will increase. And here's what will happen. When the Lord starts delighting in the membership of Kol Simcha, the congregation Kol Simcha gets the benefit. It will become so much better. Then perhaps maybe he will give us the desires of our heart, because we delight in him. I want to add a scripture from Revelation near the end. It says, even so, can you tell me the rest? Yeshua bo, come Yeshua. Even so, Yeshua come. So I would like to close with a blessing that I learned from our elder Samuel Frazier, who every time that I see him, he said, "This is going to be the best day ever." And sometimes I want to look at him and say, walk a mile in my shoes. Right? Or, really? I mean, like, really? I've learned to receive encouragement from Sam because as an elder, that's one of his primary responsibilities. Just like as an elder, is one of my primary responsibilities to be attentive to him and his family. It goes both ways. I want you to know that those leaders in this congregation are sensitive to the Lord. They ministered to me today. I was ministered to first. Do you need ministry? Oh no, I don't need nothing. I'm self-sustained. Really? I need sometimes. Not all the time. But there are some times that the weight of the responsibility of the congregation is heavy. This is a heavy year. We want it to be better. Okay, so I'm going to sit on a chair and start saying, be better, be better, be better, right? Tiki bird, be better, be better, be better. Be better, be better, be better. Better! I mean, I can think of all kinds of ways to say it. But I need to work at it. You know, it begins with me. I know you don't really perhaps understand the weight of responsibility. I can't afford to mess up anything that I preach. Otherwise, I'm just a hypocrite. I'm not soliciting your towards me, okay? to get off of this, because now everybody's going to come in, want to give me a kiss, and ay bendito. It's not what I'm saying. In the process of truly leading, all of us are often come face to face with the magnitude of the work. And we must, all of us, remind ourselves, this is not my congregation. This is not my flock. This is Yeshua's congregation, and this is Yeshua's flock. And therefore, the shepherd is faithful. The shepherd is faithful. Yeshua the shepherd, he said it in John chapter 10. You know, I am the good shepherd. Tony Arroyo is striving to follow after the good shepherd. And hopefully when it's all said and done, the judge up there can say, all right, you're not a goat after all, right? That would be awesome. You're not a goat after all. Come on over here to the sheep side. And then we can review. And I don't think I'm going to enjoy the review. I think I'm going to find out all the ways that I messed up. But somehow, you know, it's going to feel, I just made it by the skin of the chitty chin chin. You know, as long as that skin is Yeshua, that's how I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it through Yeshua, no other way. I want to express to you, as we begin this year, not all that different than the last message for the year last year. Last year was yesterday. You know, last year. And that is that I really wish that we will have the best year ever. I wish for us, and just ask the Lord, Lord, just have your way. Let me lead your people your way. Let them be nourished like you would nourish your congregation. Show me how to be a better shepherd than I've been all these years. That means you've been bad all these years? Can always improve. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Tony Arroyo Yeshua. That's not it. I'm a guy. A guy that strives to be like Yeshua. Like you are. So together, we're going to strive together. And hopefully, prayerfully, thankfully, together, united we stand, divided we fall. Time to play a song, right? Because united we stand, divided we fall, etc. But that's not for today. No songs today. May this best be your best day ever. Like Sam says to me, may this be your best day or the first of the year and the rest of the year. May it be the best ever for all of you. And may you leave today feeling loved from Yeshua as we declare to one another, Shabbat Shalom. Woo! Shabbat Shalom. Amen.